Hi, everyone. I'm Flora Pastorero.
And I'm Carrie Perry, and this is Chick to Chick.
Today, for good reason, October yes. is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, a very important month. Statistically, 1 in 8 women will develop breast cancer. That means inevitably you will know someone in your life who has breast cancer.
I do.
Yes. Who?
There's two. I mean, that I know that made it through. One that didn't. Another one. And actually, they were young women.
They were young women. Okay. You were talking about mothers, sisters, daughters, aunts, friends. My aunt died of breast cancer. She was 54 years old.
That's young.
I have a number of friends who had breast cancer. And I think the big myth is, you say 54 is young, but I think that people equate that thinking that only older women get breast cancer, and that's really not the case, mm-hmm. and that is the point of this podcast mm-hmm. today. Women in their 20s can get breast cancer. Women in their 30s can get breast cancer. This disease knows no bounds, no age limits, no nothing. It really is not a disease that only affects older women, and one of the younger women that it affected, one of my very best friends, we go back long, long time ago.
I think lots of secrets, huh?
Yeah, lots of secrets. We go back. Jennifer, do we go back to middle school or high school? I'm losing it over here. I don't even remember. Jennifer.
I think it might have been, I think it was ninth grade.
Ninth grade. So Jennifer Kem is our guest today. Jennifer, tell us what happened to you.
Well, it's wonderful to be here. I really appreciate this opportunity. I was diagnosed when I was 36 years old, and I did not have a family history it was really kind of shocking because, first of all, you know, I didn't have a family history, and I also had no awareness that, you know, women, younger than 40 could even get breast cancer, because that's when the age of mammograms started. So what happened was then I was diagnosed, I had surgery and then chemotherapy and took a pill for 5 years afterwards. But I really found it important. I was really struggling to find women my own age and with my own circumstances, young children. I had 3 children under 5. I also, it was challenging to go to support groups, and you would find women much older dealing with different issues. So really what I did was I started a support group and just started collecting women younger, and we started to support each other. And then we also, later moved into fundraising and trying to help these other women just to manage through their diagnosis.
You know, I remember when I got the call. I remember when she called me. And I don't know, Jennifer, do you remember this? You called me and you told me, you said, I have breast cancer. And I remember you said to me, I think I'm going to die. I'm afraid I'm going to die. And the boys were very, very young. Were they 2, 4, and 5? Help me remember, Jennifer.
3, 5, and 7.
3, 5, and 7.
Mm. When you've made a commitment to raise young children, I mean, you, as a mother, you want to do whatever you can to be there. So it was a surprise, and I wasn't sure, I wasn't sure how to handle it or what to do. So yeah, it definitely was shocking. And for you and everybody, it was, what do we do? How do we handle this? And, it was challenging.
But you fought the good fight. You survived. And as you pointed out, you have now started this foundation. What's it called? And I love the fact that you have turned this tragedy into triumph. What is the name of the foundation, and what is your goal and your mission?
Well, thank you. And it was basically nervous energy, or this anxiety of the threat of it coming back, which drove me to sort of try to channel that energy into something positive, because I was going crazy. And it's called the Young Women's Breast Cancer Awareness Foundation. And I was diagnosed in 2000. So 20 years ago, you know, people, there weren't that many people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. Now, for whatever reason, and I don't know if, what the stats are, there seem to be far more that are diagnosed younger. So I wanted a space where these young women could, you know, become, it, we became a community. And then we could support each other, try to educate each other. I bring in doctors that will come and speak. I have, you know, just, we have monthly dinners where we just have, we socialize and just try to connect with each other. You know, Facebook wasn't around at that time. So it was really hard to find other women. So now we all do it online as well as in person. And it removes the isolation. It removes some of the fear. If you've ever had a problem, no matter what your challenge is that you're going through life, if you're able to talk to somebody that's been through it, it's so comforting. And so it, it just brings us a sense of peace that nothing else does. So it's, and that's, you know, what has always driven me is to create that sense of peace for other women.
Jennifer, I'm moved by what you're saying too. You know, I have taken on kind of a role of something not so great happening in my family, not enough awareness, not knowing what to do and making something happen with it and spread awareness. But, you know, for you, I can imagine over the years what it must be like to, I want to say kind of, I don't know if it's relive it, but if you've got more and more women that are coming into your group because you're creating more awareness and more of those women are bringing more women in, how do you work through that? How do you work through that feeling like, gosh, there's still too many women that are walking through the doors of this, and yet knowing what you have done to create this power where these women have a place to rest their fears and have conversations?
Well, that's an excellent question. And I know you've done, you know, a tremendous amount of work in the Lyme space and trying to educate people. And that's a huge area that we mm-hmm. still are pretty uneducated about. So you totally get it.
I do.
And, you know, and so trying to, and that's really what I'm trying to do is create not only awareness, but also trying to educate when making choices, you know, trying to find the correct physicians. You know, I'm sure in your situation, you know, there are some people who sort of blow you off with Lyme. So they're like, oh, no. And other people that take it incredibly seriously and you can get help. That's the same way, like there are people, you know, I sat across the chemo chair with a woman who her doctor said, you know, he initially said, you're too young for cancer. Like, you know, you don't have breast cancer. And so he blew her off. And, you know, a year later, she was actually diagnosed at a much later stage. Ugh. That's really what, and, but it is hard. And like you're saying, you know, meeting these women and losing these women is incredibly challenging. And what people, a lot of the things have changed. Like what we used to push really is, you know, early detection will save lives. Well, what we have come to find is that one out of like there, and if you're familiar, cancer is staged in 1, 2, 3, or 4, mm-hmm. being the what is considered terminal, or you will, you know, probably pass away from this disease. Mm-hmm. But so when people are diagnosed now in stage 1, 2, and 3, 30% of those, even getting treatment, will then become stage 4.
Wow.
So it changes the paradigm as to early detection saves lives, because I'm not saying that you don't want to find it as early as you can. That's not what I'm saying. But you, it's still a really challenging and misunderstood disease. And so it is, it's extremely hard. It's hard emotionally to work with these women and try to find the best care. And, you know, I don't give medical advice at all, but I will try to help them advocate to find the best scenario or find second opinions or do things along that line and to find doctors that will take them seriously, frankly. And it is challenging. And it is sometimes I do have to take a break and I have to step back and recharge. And it's emotional work, but I can't think of doing any other thing, you know.
You have had so many remarkable fundraisers, some great fundraisers. How have you helped some of these women financially?
Well, over the years, we've given to the American Cancer Society, and now we have transitioned into actually just giving small financial grants to women, just because we have found that the reality is that it just paying bills is challenging. Cancer is expensive. I mean, even if you have the best insurance, you still have so many, like you may be off of work. You may need to pay for additional childcare. you may, some of these women are just having, having a baby coming off of maternity leave. And, 2 weeks later, they're diagnosed with breast cancer. And now they've exhausted their leave. There's just all kinds of financial challenges.
Yeah. Jennifer, if people want more information about the Young Women's Breast Cancer Awareness Foundation, how can they get involved if they'd like to donate, if they just want more information? How can they get that information?
Well, you can go to our website, which is www.young, it's the initials, it's ywbcaf.org. So that's ywbcaf.org. And then you can also, our Facebook page is pretty active, and Instagram as well. You can contact us through any of those ways. And we value, it's all grassroots, so we value any kind of anybody wants to do a pink out at their school, or a lot of companies are interested in helping us and they reach out to us, and it's fabulous. It's really been, it's amazing. And it's like, I just received a call this morning of a gentleman who's interested in, he has a production plant, and he's like, I want to give everybody pink hard hats. And, he's just really excited about it. And it's fabulous. I mean, there are so many people out there that want to help. So I really, truly appreciate it.
She really has, given so much of her life, and she took this tragedy. I mean, I cannot tell you the emotions that we went through.
I can't imagine.
I mean, I was in shock when she called me and she told me, and she said to me, who's going to raise these boys?
Yeah.
These boys, she thought she was going to die, and she thought these boys, who was going to raise them?
Yeah, well, there was another plan, because this is what she was meant
to do. God had another plan for her, and here she is 20 years later. Yeah. She is a survivor, and now she's out there helping other women.
She's a thriver.
Yeah, she is.
She's amazing. I love this. And you know what? I know, again, sometimes these are heavy topics. This is uplifting in my mind.
Absolutely.
What she's doing. It's incredible.
Absolutely.
And you know what? Keep tuning in to us chirping. We have a lot to chirp about. You can always find us at chicktochick.com. We're all over social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can't miss us, really, right?
No, we're all over the place. And so we appreciate you tuning in. Until next time, when we will be back to chirp about another topic.